All right, Voiceover Body Shop coming up, and we've got a couple of guests tonight joining us from disparate places, from Baltimore and near Seattle, Paul Stefano and Sean Daly.
The creators of VO Meter.
VO Meter.
That's right.
We'll hear all about this new podcast that they're putting together. Plus, we have a couple of tech questions.
Good.
And, of course, we'll take your questions, and God knows what else is going to happen. Coming up on Voiceover Body Shop.
Two men, twin sons from different mothers, with a passion for voiceover recording technology and the desire to make recording easy for voice actors everywhere. Together in one place, George Whittam, the home studio engineer to the stars, a Virginia Tech grad with an unmatched knowledge of all the latest gear and technology in voiceover today. Dan Leonard, the home studio master, a voiceover actor with over 30 years experience in broadcasting and recording, and a no-holds-barred, myth-busting attitude for teaching you how easy it is. Together, finally, to bring you all the latest technology. The superstars of voiceover today, and leading the discussion on how to make the most of your voiceover business. This is Voiceover Body Shop.
Voiceover Body Shop is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan's signature products. Antland Productions, where you can get a killer demo. Source Elements, makers of Source Connect, Source Connect Pro, and Source Connect Now. VO2GoGo.com and Rehearsal App. And VoiceOverExtra.com, your one stop for voiceover success. And by Edge Studio. Find your voice.
And now, live from their super-secret multimedia studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Well, ready or not, I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or
V-O-B-S.
All right.
A little off phase, but
B-S.
B-B-B-S.
All right. Well, we have guests tonight. We have guests in the studio tonight, which it's always a thrill.
That's right.
You know, someone who actually will laugh at what we have to say, whether it's funny or not.
The energy of having a live audience is always helpful.
It definitely is. It definitely is.
And if the show's slightly rougher tonight on the execution, I take full blame. Andrew is not here. He had an important job conflicting tonight. We said, Andrew, go make a little bit more money than we're paying you. We get it.
Just a little bit.
So I'm switching the show like old school, like the old days. I'm doing everything.
Back to the fun days of...
So,
all right,
you know.
Do that shot now. Give me that shot.
Oh,
you know,
man.
You know, change shot. Go to that shot.
You're going to have to give me a break. So okay. I'm not going to be as tight as usual. But I'm going to do my best.
Okay. All right. We'll just prepare ahead.
I've been working for the last 2 hours to get this thing together.
Right. It's like, Jacob, we're going to dinner in an hour.
Start getting ready.
Start getting ready. Which reminds me,
yeah,
aside from our guests, we also have a new video tonight.
Oh, good.
A new cartoon that Jacob animated that I actually wrote.
Oh, really?
The majority of, yeah.
Cool.
He gave me some characters, and I'm like, okay, we'll do this. So that's coming up after the show. So hang out even after we're done because you'll get to see that. But our guests tonight are Paul Stefano, who's joining us from Baltimore, and Sean Daly, who's joining us from this place near Seattle.
Right. Pacific Northwest, that's what we need to
know. Up in the... overlooking the Olympic Peninsula and the mountains and the Puget Sound.
And these two fellows, we've known them for a while. They've been big fans of us
and
our show for a long time, which is really cool because I think this is, and they can tell us what they think, but I think it's probably one of the first sort of fan-spawned shows.
Yeah.
You know, where some fans of ours watched us and thought we would like to do this too.
Oh, we could do that.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. They're doing an audio-only, yes, not live podcast,
yes,
which I recommend doing the same if you're thinking of getting into this. Don't do what we do unless you're totally insane.
Yes, we do this without a net.
Yeah, live onto video, yeah, not fun. I mean, it is fun. Unless things go wrong, but that also is
fun,
which you have to know that we know that you know.
Okay.
Right?
All right. With that said, let's get rolling here. It's time for...
And now, the VoiceOver Extra, VOBS News. The latest and most comprehensive voiceover industry news. Brought to you live.
There we go. Are we ready now?
Yes, okay, sir, go for it.
It's time for the VoiceOver Extra News, and we're going to talk about indie games. If you've got voiceover characters in need of more work, think about growing the business. Think about the growing business of indie games. Last year, an estimated 1.7 billion people played mobile games on all sorts of devices, and thumbs are itching for more. In fact, the gaming industry is now larger than movie and music combined, reports voice actor Tamara Ryan in a new VoiceOver Extra article series. And Tamara is especially focused on these smaller developers who team up online to create games. Her character voices, of course, are in the games playing now. In part one of the article series, which is available now, Tamara describes the indie game market and how voice actors work in it. In part two, she lists many resources for getting this work. Traditionally, she explains, if you wanted to work in the game industry, it was required that you attend certain schools or classes, know the right people, and apply at a handful of companies that actually made the games. However, these days, anybody can make a game at home and place it on the market. There are programs available where you need to know not a whole heck of a lot, or even no code at all, to actually make a game. So it's no wonder why an average of 500 games are submitted to the App Store every day. Now, all this is great for voice actors, of course, since many of the games need character voices. Some work is done in studios, but most is voiced remotely, ideal for your home studio setup. If you're already negotiating for yourself and handling contracts, then working in this niche won't be new for you. Voiceovers might be new for the developer, though. Be prepared to help educate why your prices are what they are, and that it's better that they can give you a full and completed script. It's fine to have additional sessions if needed, but be very clear that you need to be paid each time, especially if it's their mistake. Tamara adds that while some indie studios have done their research and maybe even hired a voice director to help them with the game, others will do the directing themselves. Boy, that's going to be lots of fun. Much more advice is available now in Tamara's article, along with hundreds of additional how-to features on the voiceover business, voice acting, and home studios. At voiceoverextra.com, your daily resource for voiceover success.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, it's clear that, you know, video games have taken over
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I mean, here in Hollywood, everybody's like, do games. But it's still this small cadre of people that are doing it that we've met. There's a lot of people who are doing the recording and are involved in the games, but only there's a few names of people that we know that are actually doing games. I mean, I've done a few games internationally. It's fun stuff. I mean, once you know the process and you know how to do it, getting the chance to audition, knowing what you're doing helps a lot.
I'm surprised, actually, how often I hear about people doing games that aren't in the major markets. So mm-hmm. It definitely sounds like a portion of the voiceover biz that you can actually lock in without being in L.A. or being in one of the major markets.
Right. I mean, yeah, especially for these indie games that Tamara is talking about.
It's not recorded, directed most of the time, right?
No. There's directions. They'll give you a script with a few directions, like angry, you know, sarcastic.
There's not like a live phone patch or a Source Connect kind of session.
No, there isn't. That's almost never
recorded on your own.
Yeah. No, you go to a studio here, you're going to get that. I mean, they're going to actually be there with a bullwhip, you know, making sure you get that right.
Right.
So what's going on in tech news? Anything interesting that you've come up with?
Not particularly. I will say this, though. There's one thing that just came to mind is how many of you using USB audio devices have to unplug and replug the things to get them to work consistently. You know, you have to reset them relatively often and find that annoying. I do. I find it annoying because we have to do it here on the show from time to time. But most annoyingly, I have clients who have to do it on a regular basis.
Why do you think that is?
I have a couple of theories on that. But USB audio devices, USB is a really cool thing. It lets you plug a whole lot of crap into your computer. A lot of devices using a USB hub, which causes
all sorts of problems.
All sorts of problems in itself. But the thing is, it's not all USB hubs are created equal. Not all USB audio devices are created equal. And the thing that you run into are problems with USB audio devices that are self-powered, or I should actually say host-powered, which means they don't have a power supply.
Oh, they're powered by the computer
itself.
Right,
the ones that are host-powered, powered by just the USB cable.
Mm-hmm.
Those seem to be the devices people have the most trouble with on, you know, as a whole. And it's because they're getting all of their power from the computer. And if the computer, for example, one of the issues that's common is if the computer goes to sleep, Macs in particularly, it puts out a very low amount of voltage while it's sleeping. So the audio device starts to go, I don't know what to do. And it freaks out with this small amount of power. Then when the computer wakes up, the audio device has lost its mind. And you hit record and you get garbage in Twisted Wave. Now, you may not notice you're getting garbage. That's the problem. If you're the kind of person, and because it's what we recommend, that hits record and then walks away from their software and is not staring at Twisted Wave, chances are you're not going to notice it's recording.
That's
garbage.
Why I look, walk over, say something, walk back, look, and then come back.
Or at least check playback.
Check the gate, guys.
Yeah, if you're about to sit down to a 2-hour-long narration session on a phone patch, you do not want to have to re-record that again.
No.
So I'm finding that USB self-powered or host-powered devices are one of the more unreliable devices these days. On the other end of the spectrum, what I find is just anecdotally, this is based on the amount of complaints and support requests I'm getting, Thunderbolt stuff seems to be super reliable.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't used a lot of Thunderbolt audio interfaces yet. The one that's used, really the only one I can think of that all of us are using at all, is made by Universal. That's that Universal Audio Apollo.
Right.
The problem is the thing starts at $700. It's a little dear for most voice actors.
Especially when starting out.
Yeah, but if you're not just starting out, if you've been at it for a couple of years and you're having trouble with USB audio where you're finding you have to power cycle your device, unplug it, or reboot the computer to get consistent recording, it might be time to graduate, so to speak, to a Thunderbolt audio device. Thunderbolt is a completely different signal path into the computer, so to speak. It's a different bus. It's a much more direct connection from the box to the CPU inside. The two of them are more closely tied together. USB, there's this middleman in the middle. It's the USB hub. And that thing just, it can be a traffic jam sometimes.
Yeah.
So Thunderbolt tends to be a lot more reliable. So if you're looking for that next step, it could be Thunderbolt. Mm-hmm. Actually, the Audient stuff has been pretty good. Mm-hmm. The Audient ID22, and I think it's because it has a power supply that it's more reliable. Right. So Thunderbolt, top of the line, USB with a power supply is a good interim thing. And, you know, USB self-powered, your mileage may vary.
Well, there you go.
So stay tuned.
Throw you a topic and fills the space with information that you need to know.
Fill whatever space you want until it stretches.
Exactly. But right now, we're going to take a break.
Yes,
we'll be right back with some tech questions right after this.
Are we at minus 4 dB? We're at minus 4 dB on VOBS.
Learn the latest in voiceover technology.
Business.
And good old-fashioned acting.
Hey, Paul, I really like your suit. Where did you get it? It looks good on you.
This is VOBS.
You're competing for work with other voice talents.
And every one of them has a powerful, unique, engaging voice demo. Your voice demo needs to stand out from the crowd in an unforgettable way. Now it can. Vizzy Visual Voice Demos take your awesome voice demo and add a visual element, reinforcing your brand. Your demo will leave a lasting impression because it stimulates two senses instead of just one. Your voice is your livelihood. You need an effective demo to open doors of opportunity. Blow those doors down with a Vizzy Visual Voice Demo. Visit VizzyDemos.com for more information. Your audio demo never looked so good. Take your voice demos to the next level, a visual level, with Vizzy Visual Voice Demos. Vizzy Demos introductory pricing extended through the end of April.
Well, we're back, and we're here to talk about Source Elements, one of the sponsors of our great show. Source Elements, the creators of Source Connect, available at source-elements.com. I love having that mic in my shot. I think it adds a little third dimension. It feels like a planet.
And the flying finger of fate here.
Exactly. Source Connect is a fantastic tool for folks who are needing to be directed real-time, and people associate it a lot with ISDN-type sessions, sessions where you're receiving direction and you're also connected to a studio in real time, streaming audio to the studio, and you're listening back. And Source Connect is one of the best tools. It's really a very reliable system that's been in development now for well over 10 years, and it's up to version 3.9. And the most current version, 3.9, is available for a demo today. You can get it at source-elements.com. You can get a 15-day demo of Source Connect Standard and start using it right away. You don't have to have an actual iLock USB device anymore for Standard. Yay! If you don't have an iLock, you don't have to worry about that. Just have an iLock account and you're ready to go. Give it a try, and if you end up liking it, you don't have to buy it all at once. You can get a monthly subscription to start using Source Connect Standard. So give it a shot. We appreciate Source Connect and Source Elements supporting the show. And we'll be right back right after this.
You're competing for work with other voice talents, and every one of them has a powerful, unique engagement.
Before time began, there was VOBS.TV. Watch or else.
All righty, we are back. Now, I have a story to lead up to our tech question we had tonight.
A story.
Yes. And it tied together a whole bunch of things. Used to be like when I was on the radio back in the 1990s, back when I started my career, interestingly enough, I was on Facebook yesterday morning and talking with my old operations manager, the first guy that hired me, Joe Chili. Great guy. Amazing manager.
Hey, I'm Joe Chili.
Yes, he's now he's like district manager for Tim Hortons in Buffalo right now. But 25 years he was like the operations manager at this station. Great guy. But while I was working at WJYE, Joy FM 96, we had to produce public service programs and stuff. And every now and again, we would get these tapes in the mail, which I'll show you the cover from in a little while, from Radio Moscow.
Ooh, yes.
You know, and I'm like, I wonder what's on these. And I'd listen to them, and I go, that's basically propaganda, and thank God we're not playing it on the station. But one night I remember I was, just to tell you how convoluted this whole story is leading into this question, I remember on my shortwave radio that I still have, listening to Radio Moscow, just for the heck of it, just for the commercials. Think about it. And... And I remember this voice fading in and out. It was probably Vladimir Posner or something like that. He's going, and now it's time for letters from listeners. And now here's one from Pat Sweeney in Toronto, Ontario, asking about the means of production. Well, I went searching through the archives of behind the ugly curtain over here. And I found one of the tapes.
Yes.
Here it is. Radio Moscow, which my, yeah, this do, one over here. So go to that camera. That
All right.
There we go. Look at this. Yeah. This is what we would get. We would get these reel-to-reel tapes. And, you know, and of course there was Russian lettering on. They made great tape.
What is this?
It's tape.
Oh, tape.
Tape, yes. It was on tape. And, of course, what did I use the tape for? You'll notice that it says party tape.
Yeah.
Party tape one from about 1979, 1980.
Awesome.
Anyway, so why am I going on and on about this? Because tonight's question comes from Pat Sweeney of Toronto, Ontario.
Who is old enough to have known what those are for.
That's right.
That's all I will say
Although
about that.
Although he was not doing that when they were using tape. Right. I think he was selling pharmaceuticals at the time. Anyway, great medical narration guy. Anyway, his question was about doing the sound of a phone.
Yes.
You know, a lot of times you're like, you might get a copy that says it's a phone conversation. You're actually like, it's like you're on a radio show and you're calling in and they want to hear what it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a couple of ways you can create a phone voice. The first way is by going to eBay and getting yourself one of these things that's basically a phone that'll plug into your board. So turn that on.
And is that working now? Okay. See, you know, is this Joe's Pizza? Yeah, thanks for calling. You know, that sort of thing. Now, that's one way of making a phone sound.
It's like, I mean, and this thing is really cool. I mean, it's got an old element in it, a crystal microphone element in it. You know, like your old phone.
Hold it up again. Show a little more detail.
Oh, okay.
For those that have never seen something like this.
Let's use this camera here. That one there. There we go. See, it's a phone element.
And is that what's called a crystal microphone?
It is a crystal microphone, a heavy duty crystal microphone.
Yeah,
but it would fit into here. I'm not sure what this thing was. I saw it on eBay and said, okay, I'm going to grab this thing. But it emulates the sound of a phone.
It emulates the sound of a phone.
It also sounds out of phase.
Well, because it's not because this mic is on.
I guess so. When I have it off, it even sounds out of phase. It's very strange sounding, but it does work.
It does work. Or you can turn that off now.
Oh, you did?
Okay, good.
Got it.
Here's the other way. And now we're going to go to DAWView 2017.
Here we go.
But it would fit into here. I'm not sure what this thing was. I saw it on eBay and said, okay, I'm going to grab this thing. But it emulates the sound of a phone.
It emulates the sound of a phone.
What?
It sounds out of phase.
Well, because this mic is on.
I guess so. I have it off. It's very strange sounding, but it does work.
It does work. Or you can turn that off now. Oh, you did? Okay, yeah, that's off. Okay, here's the other one.
Okay,
now we're going to go to DAWView 2017.
Now, the way you can
emulate a phone. But it would fit into here. I'm not sure what this thing was.
Equalization.
I saw it on eBay and said, okay, I'm going to grab this thing. But it emulates the sound of a phone.
Click
on the Chrome icon. Right.
It sounds out of phase.
Well, because this mic is on.
I guess so.
It's
very strange sounding. But it does work.
It does work.
You got to mute it.
Or you can turn that off now. Oh, you did? Okay, that's off.
Thank you.
Ah, did that stop it?
That's the way you stop it, yeah.
Good to know.
Okay, we are back.
We're back! Okay.
As you were saying.
As I was saying. Okay, so going back to here. Okay. Here we have, this is Adobe Audition here.
Adobe Audition, one of our favorite DAWs.
Right.
Digital audio workstation recording software.
Right.
For the
now, we won't use the spectrogram because it's not really necessary here. Mm-hmm. But here's how you emulate the sound of a phone. The crystal microphone had no low end. Mm-hmm. It just would take like the total mid-range of your voice and a little bit of the high end, and so there'd be no bass.
That's right.
You know, I mean, you couldn't hello. You couldn't sound sexy on a phone.
No.
It was just impossible unless you were Don LaFontaine. It just sounded good on anything.
Right.
But what you do is you use what we call equalization. And, of course, now the thing is, let's go to a 10-band equalizer here. Here we can see the EQ, and it's arranged from about, it starts at about 31 hertz and goes up to 20,000 hertz or 20 kilohertz.
Mm-hmm.
If you take out all the low end, which is everything below 100, below 250.
Play it without first. Play it flat.
I'll play it without any equalization
here.
Test 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay. All right. Now, if I activate the EQ with all those settings in there, we'll
test 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Now this is with.
Test 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Basically, it's a what we might call a band pass.
A low mid-pass filter, essentially.
Yeah, band pass. We're taking out the low end and the high end over here.
Right.
We're taking those out and leaving the rest in the middle.
And then it sounds like...
Test 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Sounds like a phone.
There you have it.
So, Pat, that entire story was for you.
All that work, all the prep, all of the echo, everything... To make that happen was to answer your question, Pat.
Right. He damn well better be watching.
No, but that's fun. We love doing demos like that.
Yes. Now, but EQ is a very powerful thing. But I tend to think that people really overuse it.
Yeah. I mean, this was an example of using EQ as an effect.
As a tool.
Yeah, as a tool, as a way of creating something other than you.
Right.
And the way I generally use EQ for the vast majority of the situations is I'm using EQ as a way to make you sound as accurately you as possible.
Right.
Sometimes I might boost a little bit of this, cut a little bit of that, but mostly I'm using EQ to smooth out little issues with the mic's response or
room
maybe
correction.
Some boominess in the room. I might back down the low end a little bit. Yeah. Sibilance, I might back off a little here at like 8,000 or 10,000. You know, that's what I'm using EQ for mostly.
Right.
Yeah.
And I use it a little bit, depending on what microphone I'm using.
I mean, if you pick the right mic,
it shouldn't
and
be
you
a
have
problem.
A good sounding room,
right.
You need almost no EQ or no EQ at all.
Right. I think people tend to overuse a lot of filters.
The more tools you have at your disposal, the more chances you're going to probably want to use them. That's
right.
That's just human nature.
But the more things you have, the more things that can go wrong.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what something does, how it works, and when to use it, don't use it.
Yeah.
Pretty simple.
Yeah. I mean, and if you insist on using a tool because you were told this thing's going to make things better, at least consult with somebody that knows
what they're talking about.
Knows how to use that tool.
Absolutely.
You know, that's a really important part. Because, well, we'll talk to Paul a little bit later about one of those tools that we have in mind.
Yes.
And we'll talk to Paul.
Yeah.
And we'll just talk a little bit about using that tool and why he's using it and what he's finding that it's helping and maybe the ways that we would recommend doing it without said tool. We're burying the lead a bit, but we're talking about a mic processor that we find controversial. So we'll get into that a little bit later.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. So,
was there any other questions?
No, I think that was it for tonight.
Oh, okay.
And I think we've worn out our welcome on this anyway.
Okay.
But that's going to be it for tech questions. If you have a tech question for us, send it in to us, theguys@vobs.tv.
Yep.
And you, too, can be on Radio Moscow.
Let's fly back into the home studio and back into the studio. Yay.
All right. Okay. We'll be right back with Paul Stefano and Sean Daly of the VO Meter right after this.
Yep. This is VOBS, proving anybody can have a show these days.
Hiya, VO friends. You say you ain't booked a VO gig in 7 years, and your demo is so old that you can hear the clicks from the stock music records, and you hear so much tape hiss that you run to the sink to see if the faucet is running, and the engineer used so much echo on your voice that it sounds like it was recorded in the Grand Canyon, and the scripts seem a bit dated too, advertising the new and improved 1938 Plymouth Road King? Is that what's been troubling you, Bunky?
Well, lift your head up high and take a walk in the sun. Your demo can be killer, too. Just contact Uncle Roy at AntlandProductions.com and book yourself a shiny new killer demo. Show your stick-to-itiveness and show the world. You'll never give up, never give up, never give up. That dream...
You're still watching VOBS?
Alrighty, you know, now's a great time to get Rehearsal Pro, because in just a few short weeks, and getting shorter all the time, there's going to be a brand new feature in Rehearsal Pro that will blow you away. Whoosh! We're going to give you access to a new community of actors and voice talent where you can offer your services as a professional to help others with their rehearsing and scene exploration. More details coming very soon. Now, Rehearsal Pro, the app for actors and voiceover talent, is available now at rehearsal.pro/download. That's rehearsal.pro/download. Learning your lines for on-camera work's never been easier, and creating quick, awesome-sounding voiceover auditions has never been faster. And with the new Reader Marketplace, you'll be able to create your own business helping other actors book more work. That's Rehearsal Pro, available at rehearsal.pro/download. That's rehearsal.pro/download.
You're listening to VOBS. You're listening to VOBS.
Right, we're back. It's time to welcome our guests who are joining us via Zoom, which we brought to the world. Seems like nobody knew what Zoom was until George and I started saying, yeah, let's use this. And now everybody's using it for webinars and stuff.
I will give one credit where credit is due.
Okay, who was
where
that?
I heard it from.
Oh, it was James.
James
Allberger.
Allberger, yeah.
Yes. Okay, James, if you're watching, James, we remembered.
Got your back, buddy.
Okay. Anyway, joining us from Baltimore, Maryland, and from someplace near Seattle, with a name I cannot remember, Sean Daly and Paul Stefano. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hey, guys.
What's up, guys?
Thanks for having us.
Oh, our pleasure.
We are thrilled to be here.
You guys have been watching our show for a while, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, about 3 years for me. What about you, Paul?
Yeah, about, I guess, 2 years, and then all the backlogs, as many as I could find or get my hands on.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive, man. That's a lot of episodes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's a lot to, like, go through and figure it out. All right, so you're both voiceover guys, and you, now how long you've been doing it? For 3 years? Now you, first off, Sean, you were in Japan.
Yeah,
I remember.
That's pretty much how everyone knows me, is the man from Japan, right?
Yeah.
I was
the white man from Japan.
The white man from Japan. Oh God. My family lived in Okinawa when I was a kid, and I remember coming back to Washington in high school, and everyone's like, "Dude, where's his kimono? Why is he white?" and stuff like that. It was just.
Oh yeah.
And even again as an adult. But I was teaching English over there for about 4 years. And then after my first year, I decided to pursue my other passion, voice acting. And so was kind of juggling both jobs for about 3 years. And then as the VO work increased, my passion for teaching went down a little bit. So before I became a terrible teacher, I decided to come back.
Smart.
Yes. Now, how did you get into voiceover? I mean, what were you doing before? You were teaching, but did one lead into the other?
Yeah, it did, actually. So I was doing something called the JET program, or Japanese Exchange Teaching. And basically the skills that I had learned through, like, working with non-English speakers, speaking slowly, speaking articulately and expressively, all fed into voice acting. And honestly, I've wanted to be a voice actor ever since I was 5. So, what, like, long before I knew it was a job, I just assumed people lived in a cartoon. But now
you've,
I know
you've
that.
Read my biography.
What is it? My life as a 10-year-old boy,
something like
or
that,
or 5-year-old yeah. boy. But I've wanted to do this for a very long time.
And how did you start? What was the first thing you tried?
Well, I did a lot of research for almost a year. I followed, I found VOBS. I read everything on VoiceOver Extra, John Florian's wonderful site. And then I kept hearing, or like I kind of stalked all of the Facebook groups and the VOBB or the VoiceOver Bulletin Board and read as much as I could understand. And then about a year into it, I reached out to Terry Daniel for some coaching. We worked together for about 6 months. I got demos and a website out and then just kind of put my shingle out. And then right around that time, I actually ran into who's now a close friend of mine, this guy named Drew Badger over at EnglishAnyone.com. And I introduced myself as a voice talent. And he's like, oh, what do you know? I'm trying to delegate this audio stuff away from myself. And we've been working together ever since. So he's my first and best client. So thank you, Drew, if you're watching this.
Yeah, it's always going to be the one guy. It's like, I'll take a chance on you. And of course,
He did. That's fabulous. And he was very instrumental in helping me not sound like a voice actor. So he's just like, I just want to hear you, Sean. Just stop, like, just take off the sauce, you know?
That's smart.
Yeah.
I mean, I call my client, my first client, tech client that I ever did in voiceover, Howard Parker, my client zero.
This is ground zero.
Client zero, yeah. So you might call him your client zero.
Yeah, there we go. Paul, what about you?
That's funny, George, because I was actually calling you Patient Zero at VO Atlanta.
Oh, man. I hope I didn't spread anything by doing only elbows and fist bumps the whole time.
I started kind of a similar way where I always wanted to do voice, either acting or use my voice in some way or another. I started out doing the morning announcements at my high school on the television, announcing what was for lunch that day and what the field hockey score was. And then I went to college and got a degree in broadcast journalism, did college radio and public access TV for the college station, and thought I was going to be on the radio or maybe on television. I quickly learned I had a face for radio, so I focused on that as best I could. And I started to look for jobs in that field and wasn't really coming up with much. Very hard field to break into, as is voice acting. And I gave up too quickly, honestly. I went and got a quote-unquote real job and spent 20 years in corporate America doing selling insurance, similar to what Dan has done for a while. I worked for
isn't it? You learn how to work the phone.
That is a skill that does translate, actually, as I'm sure you know. And I did a bunch of other jobs working in higher education. I worked for the Baltimore Orioles for a while. You can see I'm wearing my shirt right now.
They win today?
And they did win today. All opening day. They're in first place.
Woo! Today.
But I found myself being pulled back to wanting to do voices. And then my company that I currently still work for part-time they do higher education and a lot of online learning modules. And they were looking for volunteers for doing voices. Little did I know at the time what I was getting myself into. So I did a voice for this online classroom, and they liked it. And I thought, hey, maybe I could do this more. And I started to do some research. And like Sean, I watched all the VOBS and any WABS episodes I could find. I did all the research on the VOBB as well. But dissimilar from Sean, I sort of jumped out there with both feet and got into the social media as hard as I could and made some mistakes along the way. I put some self demos together and put those out on the VOBB and got summarily blasted by the pros there. And then took a step back and said, okay, now I need to take this advice that I've been given from some wonderful voice talent there and apply it. So I took some training with Edge Studio and got a demo produced there, and then started to actually look for work and submit to some agencies and took it from there. So the theme that I want to get across of the whole podcast and why we're doing this is that we're still very new. While we've been doing this for a while, we don't want to put ourselves out there as experts that people should sort of take as gospel. What we want to do is show people the journey, so to speak, as we're experiencing it. Maybe they can learn something from it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let's talk about it. Now, your podcast is called the VO meter as opposed to the VU meter. I guess that was a play on words,
so
Sean.
All right. Who gets credit
like
for that?
Huh?
Yeah.
Who
so
gets
got
credit
that?
For that?
Didn't have to hit you over the head with it.
But I think that was me. I actually wanted to call it the VO meter shtick. And we thought that was a little too campy. So we made that into a segment and then just went with VO meter for the title of the podcast.
Okay. And so what was the genesis of all this? I mean, you guys obviously knew each other and, you know, you run into each other at conferences and stuff. What prompted you to say, you know, We should do a podcast.
Yeah, whose great idea
was that? I
was
the only one who said yes.
That's not too far from the truth. Well, I mentioned putting together some self-produced demos and putting myself out there way too early. As that was happening, I started to get contacted from people that were sort of trying to soothe my fragile ego and saying, it's okay, it's all right. You can unfurl from that little ball you're curled up in. You'll get there. And I got some great advice from people that helped ultimately help me launch the career. And I wanted to pay that back. And I thought, what better way to sort of put out the information out there that we've learned from you, George and Dan, some of the other podcasts that are out there, the VoiceOver Cafe that you had on a couple of weeks ago. I've learned a lot from those folks. And I wanted to give back to the community who had given back so much to me. So I started this accountability group, which I now know is the name, thanks to Dan. At the time, I thought it was a workout group, but apparently
we call it all sorts of things. Meetup group.
They have different goals.
Right.
So it started out as a workout group. It was initially called the New Guy Group because I found people who I thought were in a similar path of their career as me. It was Sean Daly, in case there's any question. John Rorta and Mike Norgard. They were all folks I met on the VOBB. And we met every week to sort of talk about the business and eventually did some workout on scripts and auditions. And from that, we started to trade information and learn a whole lot about what was going on in the business. And going back to that altruistic intent that we had, I suggested to Sean, actually I suggested to everybody, let's do a podcast. And Sean's right. He was the only one that said yes. The only one stupid enough to go on this journey with really no experience at all. And that's how it started. We just said, we're going to start to put together some content. We'll put one out there, see how it goes. And what we found out was that people started asking us questions. They started listening and they started to reach out to us privately through Facebook, through Twitter, through the website itself and say, hey, I really like what you're doing. How can I find out more?
All right. Sean, what's your take on all of this?
Well, pretty much like he said, he really did spearhead the podcast and but I'm glad he did. And cause I had been looking for a way to sort of like to pay it forward, to give back, because everyone, as you all know, is just so generous with their time, with their experience. And I really wanted to do something like that as well. And it's funny because even though we're not like, I mean, I've been doing this for three, Paul's been doing it for about 2 years now. There are still things that we know that people who are behind us or ahead of us in their careers find valuable. So once we realized that, we're like, oh, we've got a podcast. So, and you'd be amazed how many people don't know about the resources that are available, like VoiceOver Extra, like VOBS, or the Nether Voice blog, or Corvo's blog, or the VOBB. And these resources that be distributed. And whenever I have a chance, I like talking you guys up and getting you a little promo too. So as we are wont to say, a rising tide raises all boats.
That's a nice way to put it.
Yeah, absolutely. So what you guys are really doing is you're following the progression of your own careers and sharing that as you go along, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what is it? Like, so a journaling of Journeyman VO's journey. So, I don't know, literature major. But anyways, we were talking about that before we started the show. It sort of has become a catalog to our own progress. And it's wonderful because it's kind of difficult to look at your own career objectively if you're in the middle of it. And it's great to be able to go back and look at the past mistakes that you were making, and hopefully you're making them less or not making them at all. But and even just like the quality of the podcast itself and how it has grown and how we've grown as voice talent has been really fun to watch.
What kind of feedback are you guys getting from the people listening to the show? I mean, you know, I find that with podcasts, one of the most difficult things, and I'm a huge podcast listener. I probably listen to...
You spend way too much time in your car.
Well, I mean, that's the time I listen to podcasts. I listen to them in the car while I'm doing dishes, going to bed sometimes. But the most difficult thing about a podcast medium is I think there's a big lack of interaction with the audience. It's very hard because people tend to listen to podcasts in a very detached way, again, while they're driving. So when there is a call to action or like, hey, we should have you guys send things in or send us an email or let us know. It's like, I'm driving right now. So are you guys getting some feedback or some interaction from the people that watch the show?
Oh, yeah, yeah, we're getting it.
Paul, go ahead.
You first, Paul.
Okay. Well, I'll throw out some straight numbers. First of all, it was a slow burn where the first couple of episodes did take some while to gain some momentum. But I'm happy to say that we did just cross over our 1,000th download last week.
Great.
And since then, we've had 200 more. So we're at 1,200 now.
Congrats.
And I feel like we've gotten some momentum. We're up to 8 episodes. And oh, thanks, by the way, for the congrats. And I feel like there is some momentum definitely growing. Whereas initially, I had to basically tweet every day to get some traction. There does seem to be some organic growth with people downloading every couple of hours without really much effort on our part.
People are reaching out to us. It takes work to start building that audience, and starting from scratch.
It does. And the other thing I'll say is that people are reaching out to us personally. We sort of put ourselves out there as the everyman for the voiceover community, and I think that has resonated. People contact me almost every week and have long conversations over Facebook or email or even call. And to say, hey, I heard the podcast. Can I ask you about this microphone? I know you used it. There's a lot of those calls. Or I had a question about the acoustics episode. Can you walk me through this? I was saying, as we were doing the prep, somebody was texting me, another voice talent, about building a PVC blanket booth. And I was literally doing that while you were doing the news for VOBS.
I love it.
Yeah, I'd say the response has been very positive, considering I wasn't expecting an audience. So.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, they kind of trickled in at first, but like friends and people, like Facebook contacts and stuff like that. But eventually, they don't know how the internet works yet. So
my mom's been texting me as well all night saying she can't watch the show.
She'll watch the replay.
Just go to Keep It or something and send her the episode. But yeah, and then people like new talent have been very grateful for the information that we've had, and they're like, wow, they have like a really calculated approach to this, or like they're very courageous in their marketing efforts and they're trying anything. And then people like more experienced talent are like, thank you, like you're really filling a niche of answering questions that we're tired of answering. So I'd say we're keeping everyone happy, and the goal of the podcast was sort of to like bridge the disconnect between aspiring talent and then in more experienced talent. Right. Because when you're completely fresh, you don't know what you don't know. And it's very easy to commit a faux pas, like because you're just trying to ask a genuine question. So
exactly.
We're trying to keep the peace there.
Right. Technologically, what was the challenge for you guys to actually create this? I mean, obviously, if you can record your own voice, knowing the other parts of it is, you know, learning a little bit of additional knowledge. What are you guys using to record and edit your podcast?
Various things.
Start listing them there.
Okay. So we usually record locally, twist and wave on both ends with, we each have a Yamaha AG03. And at first, like we played with the loopback feature in that. I mean, it can't get easier than that. But we did have some issues, mainly
a lot of issues.
Yeah, with some of the VoIP or the VoIP solutions. We've tried Skype and Zoom and Bidalgo Call. And Source Codec Now, and either the finished signal would be degraded when we recorded, or we also had problems with a headphone loopback as well.
Yeah, that's the big one.
Big one.
Yeah. No, if you listen to like our first, I think it's our first 3 episodes, like you can totally hear it. It's awful.
I think I mentioned it in the one episode. I said, I'm doing this while listening to both voices in my head and it's driving me crazy.
That's the hardest part. I was like, how do you do this? How do you radio jocks do this?
Well, I mean, the thing is, we're trying to recreate what happens in a radio station.
Right.
Never mind the video side, okay? I know we do video too because we're crazy, but you're trying to reproduce a radio station in your home,
right?
And have all the same functionality and do it from 2 different locations. So you're basically trying to host a remote because one of you guys is the remote.
And I was always the remote.
Right, right. Yeah. So that was, in that case, it was consistent because Dan was the remote, I was the studio. It was the same every week. And you guys are doing this kind of hybrid because you're doing a podcast. So you're each recording yourselves and then bringing it back in, but you're trying to monitor each other without hearing a loopback of yourselves. That is something that's actually relatively challenging. So what was the solution?
We're not morons, you're saying?
No, we weren't going to say that.
No, you're not morons. So what was the... I know a lot of this is how to be a podcaster, and I don't care because this is our show.
No, it's fine.
About what we
People are
about.
Curious. Right. But I didn't know any of this stuff.
No, so what was the solution in the end? Was to, how did you sort out the headphone monitoring situation? What was the solution?
Well, it's funny because somebody
record individually. And
you record individually, but you still have a monitoring issue to sort out, though, right? I mean. What
so the problem
it?
Was is that we had selected our interface as the input and output in both our DAW and Twisted Wave, as well as our system preferences. Uh-huh. So some people like, and it's funny because I've seen that kind of issue crop up twice this week for various people on Facebook.
Yeah.
But when you set your interface to like in system preferences, that means everything that's going like that's streaming on your computer, be it YouTube, iTunes, whatever, is going to go into your headphones. And then if you have a DAW that's recording and playing through as well, you're going to get a loop. So that was the issue. So
as you guys
just had
heard earlier tonight on this very show. I mean, we've been doing this a long time,
and it
6
still
years, and it does still happen. So
it's yeah.
I want to point out there's
fine.
A really cool feature in Twisted Wave that maybe not everybody knows about. It's called Paste Over, and that was the ultimate solution where we record individually and then combine the tracks. And if you line up the time code on the two tracks and use this function in Twisted Wave called Paste Over, it will take the track. Well, first you have to copy from the other track, but it will take the track and copy it directly over the existing mono track. And if you line up the time codes well, it'll mix it perfectly. And then you have one track with both voices together. It was a lifesaver, really.
Oh, far out.
That's how you solve that.
So you're not using a multi-track DAW or anything fancy. You're just using that.
Well, I
that
do
function.
Actually use... To mix in the other elements, like the donuts for the VO meter shtick, and then the questionable gear purchase bumper.
Donuts.
I use Audacity.
A little bit of jargon there.
Yeah.
A little bit of broadcast jargon. I like it.
Yeah. Look at that. Look at that fancy language.
And
that college education at work. Mom, did you get the stream? Your hard-earned money at work. But anyway, I just use Audacity. I set up all the tracks, all the different assets, all together in Audacity, and then mix it down in the final mono mix, and it does the job.
Alrighty.
I will say though, I love the finite control you can get with a good multi-track editor. I for one, when I'm not my brain moves a lot faster than my mouth, even though I talk for a living. and I when I get excited, I stutter, I say and like, and so I like being able to take those out, which you can't necessarily do if you use the loopback feature or if you just paste them together. And it's great because then somebody always has decent room tone. You don't have to worry about that. So.
Yeah, that's true.
That helps. Now, you've have some interesting features on your show. Now, one of them that I was hearing was questionable purchase of the week.
Questionable
gear purchase of the week.
I like it.
Yeah, I mean, someone obviously has gear acquisition syndrome amongst you.
Oh, you guys have bad gas.
It's your fault.
I mean, you guys have bought a lot of stuff. And I know Paul has gotten rid of a lot of stuff. What is one thing where you bought it thinking it was going to be a fantastic solution and it turned out to be the exact opposite? Is there something that just was really way off base?
Mixer
I can go
face.
First. You want to go first, Sean? Go ahead. Oh, Mixer Face.
Yep, Mixer Face. I just got another apologetic email from them. And we're going on 4 years, Michael. So
they're going to get it right sooner or later.
Ouch. Yeah, Mixer Face. I'd say I have to agree with that one.
Like, but then, I mean, hey, I bought the Audion ID22 because of that. So and then, so it sent me on the right course of decent gear that was available. So
mine was the Blue Baby bottle, and it's Dan's fault.
No, in which case it was Cliff's fault.
Oh, okay. I mean, watching you use it and thinking that our voices had close to a similar timbre, I thought it would be fantastic. And it was possibly the worst mic I've ever tried for my voice. It sounded like I was talking in that phone, the USB phone thing you had. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it sounded like for my voice. So I don't know. Yeah, you know how it is. Every mic is different for your voice and your space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, I mean, you got to use what you got to use.
Hey, that's me.
Yeah, there you go. Look at that. All right, well, it's interesting that, you know, you try to buy all sorts of stuff thinking that's going to help your career. And, of course, we've always been of the opinion it's not the equipment. I mean, unless you enjoy lots of different equipment and want to be really geeky about it. Mm-hmm. We have just found that whatever you use, and if you use it properly, that's the sound you have, it's probably not going to be a problem. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I agree with that to most extent.
Yeah, I was going to say probably to the most extent.
I just can't help myself. And that's literally what I said in the last episode. I said, here's this week's questionable gear purchase because we just can't help ourselves.
Did you put that revolving door in your studio yet, Paul?
I need that for sure.
Now, you have another feature on there with a young lady from Alaska, Heather Masters, who joins you. How did that come about? And what is the prime purpose of that?
Well, like that was the original name of the podcast, and I wanted it to be more campy, and we sort of, like George said, we sort of got more techie without even really realizing it, and that's sort of the direction the podcast took. But originally, I planned it to be more comedic and wanted to be a little more loosey-goosey, but we thought we'd incorporate that as a way to use that name and keep that spirit alive. So every episode, we ask somebody to record a short bit for us that's either 1-2 minutes, whatever they feel they can do, and then send it to us. It could be something that happened in their career, a funny story that happened at an audition, anything that's sort of a comedic story related to the voiceover world.
All righty. Well, we're going to take a break right now. If anybody out there in the chat room has a question for Paul or Sean about their podcast
or their VO journey,
or what kind of gear they thought they'd like to buy, write it down in the chat room, and I know that our good friend Jack Daniels, just like the whiskey, is taking that stuff down.
He is actually here tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
Wave there, Jack. All right. Okay, great. we'll relay those questions to you, and we'll make this an even broader discussion here on Voice Over Body Shop. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
Voiceover Body Shop. I love when they talk BS about VO.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Oh. Hi, everybody. This is Jack Ryan.
I'll just come off to the side.
Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
Voiceover Body Shop. I love when they talk BS about VO.
You're listening to VOBS.
Are we at minus 4 dB? We're at minus 4 dB on VOBS.
Learn the latest in voiceover technology.
Business.
And good old-fashioned acting.
Hey, Paul, I really like your suit. Where did you get it? It looks good on you.
This is VOBS. Learn the latest in voiceover technology.
Learn the latest in voiceover technology, business, and good old-fashioned acting.
I really like your bracelet. It's awesome.
Hey, Paul, where did you get that watch?
That's really cool.
And a hamburger with no cheese, please.
Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, only on voiceoverbodyshop.com.
Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios, who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach, and cares about your success. In one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the Home Studio Master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the Home Studio Master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis.
In a world of audio, two men knew what they were doing, or at least they have you convinced. They put the BS in VOBS.TV.
Well, we thought we'd have me do a spot for our wonderful friend of the show. It's been sponsoring us for 6 years now, and that's Harlan Hogan of VoiceOverEssentials.com. His website is a compendium. Is that the right word for it? Compendium? I'm sorry. I wear too many hats. I want to fix my green screen while I'm doing commercials. Sorry, Harlan. It is an absolute treasure trove of resources for the voice actor who wants to just have a one-stop shop for voice acting tools of all kinds. Anything from education, books, anything that can be useful for recording while you're in session, like accessories for the studio, like stopwatches, lighting, pop screens, and of course the stuff we all love to talk about, microphones, audio interfaces, all sorts of gear that's specific to the voiceover actor and what they need. Harlan carries that stuff, right, Dan?
He does. And I've been told to mention something tonight.
Okay.
It's mention our newsletter tips and special deal sign up on VoiceOver Essentials. I have now officially mentioned it.
There you go. Okay. We fulfilled our obligation.
I know. Well, it pops up just once when you go to the site.
Okay.
So when you go to the site, like if you go to the bottom of our page right now, scroll down, and you will see the picture of Harlan Hogan there talking into his porta booth. Mm-hmm. And if you click on that, it'll take you right to the site. And it'll pop up just once, and when you go to the site, just rewarded the folks who already have joined up with a cash discount this week as a thank you. Mm. Can't go wrong signing up.
Okay.
So when you get down to VoiceOver Essentials, sign up there and get special deals from H2.
I love it.
All right. Harlan Hogan, VoiceOverEssentials.com. They know who to sponsor because they're really good, and we thought they'd be good, too. All right. We'll be right back with Paul Stefano, Sean Daly, and the VO Meter guys right after this.
This is John Bailey, the Epic Voice, and you're watching VOBS.TV, Monday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9:30 Newfoundland.
All right, and we're back. Hey, it's radio time here. All right.
VOBS.
Let's get pukey.
Yeah, it's 10 minutes after the hour, depending on what time zone you're in. And, boy.
It's fun, isn't it?
It is.
It's fun to master of time, space, and everything in between.
That's
yes.
Right. And it's a little bit after midnight here in New York City, and we've got, you know, jazz playing in the background. And,
yeah.
That's the radio I did.
Oh, yeah. I who was it? Used to have a great routine about that. Can't even remember his name now.
Ask me about the time I played the song on the radio live all over Virginia Tech, all over town, and on the quad where they had the PA system set up for fundraising, a song called No Shit. And that was the name of the song, and it was a jazz tune where the first 5 minutes was instrumental.
Right.
So I thought I was scot-free. I had no idea that the whole band actually would say, no shit, like that, right in the middle. I was just like,
oops.
I saw the sign over the console that says FCC violations for language, or whatever it was, $10,000 fine. I was like, oh, I'm screwed. All 7,000 people heard that. Anyway,
yes,
I know how it goes.
Yes, and I was talking about when I was at WJYE, Joy FM 96, and my friends were constantly harassing me to play Anarchy in the UK.
Yeah!
Anarchy in the UK!
Yeah, no, I never had the...
Johnny Rotten.
Never had the gazungas to do that, but it was fun to think about. And now hearing it on First Wave all the time, like, you know, I should have played it.
Yeah. Now it's like oldies.
I know.
It's only oldies.
It's like listening to Sinatra.
Hey, I'm listening to 60s on 6, man.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So let me ask you. Now you're doing this podcast. Is it helping with your careers at all? Has anybody who's like not a voice actor perhaps tuned in and said, "Hey, you guys are great. We'd like you to do commercials for us."
In a word, no. Yeah.
Okay. But, in case you were all hoping that would be the case.
I mean, the funny thing about this is that, I mean, this was always an altruistic endeavor, but I mean, it's really sort of established our credibility within the VO community. And we realize that most of our listening audience may not be hiring, but it's really increased our web presence. And like we said, a lot of people of all stages of their career have been grateful that something like this exists.
Yeah, it really wasn't the intention to sort of gain business from it. If that happens, great. But like Sean said, it was really a truly altruistic intent to help people. And then, like he said earlier, to practice our craft. It is a great way to practice recording, to learn more about the tools that we use to record, and ultimately just use our voice.
Yeah, and we finally know what our natural speaking voice sounds like. So,
well, that's important. That's important. So how are you, you know, we talked about how you're set up, or at least you're trying to set up to do this podcast. How are you set up to record at home? What are your studios like? They look somewhat similar. Is there any collaboration in this? Or?
Almost. Actually, although people who I've showed the podcast to, they're like, you guys are on the opposite ends of the states? That's nuts. So, I mean, at least it's well produced.
The miracle of radio production.
Yeah. It's magic.
So what are you using to record there, Sean? What's your chain?
So this is the, the hanging acoustic booth from Vocal Booth to Go. And, but with sort of a improvised PVC frame. But we have the 416 or the Blue Mouse, that really pretty looking mic. It's all for show. And then going into the SBO Creon, which is like a newer German interface. And I'm quite happy with how it sounds, finally. I haven't really made any major purchases since that one.
Paul?
Well, this week I'm using I'm in a whisper room that hasn't changed for almost a year, and then a 4x4 whisper room, and then I had the acoustic blankets on the inside to use instead of foam, and it works really well. They're the Producer's Choice ones from VocalBoothToGo.com, and I use a 415, a Sennheiser MKH 415, and a Scarlett 6i6. Recording chain.
Yeah. Now, what's that thing behind you? Is it like the pipes from your hot water tank, or is that the Canadian arm from the space shuttle?
I didn't want to make your head explode, but my long form mic is a Shure SM58. I know. There are specific reasons for it.
Do tell.
The extent to which I plugged it. I outlined the reasons during the last podcast episode, but I have terrible mouth click problems, and the less sensitive the mic, the better, in my opinion, for long form. So I use the SM58. It cuts down significantly on mouth clicks. And in the whisper room, it still sounds pretty good. Mm.
So much cheaper. Alcohol in a spray bottle. It works great. Yeah. Anyway.
Does that actually help with mouth clicks?
Oh, absolutely. No.
Why? Because it lubricates? Or
it gets rid of the mucus in your mouth. The mucosa, as our friend Joel Bernstein would say.
Yes.
It's a mucus dissolvent. Mm-hmm. And mix it 20 to 1 with water in a spray bottle.
It's not what it says on the bottle.
It's not chloroseptic.
No doubt. Do not use that.
I mean, unless you got a sore throat. In which case,
I think you have a bottle with it around here.
Yeah, the bottle is over there. Actually, Jay Horace, it's right over there next to my stick there.
Fly that in, would you, Jay?
There we go. Thank you.
This stuff, we talk about it every 50 episodes.
Here, we'll
or
go
so.
To the
it's
close-up on this camera.
We'll go to this camera over here. So this is the alcohol.
Alcohol.
Oh, it's actually this camera. Sorry. Threw a curveball. Yeah. Yeah, alcohol. I mean, this stuff cuts the saliva, right?
And it does.
It keeps it from being sticky, and sticky saliva is what makes those click, click, click.
It is. It's designed as a nasal wash and to put in a neti pot.
So you dilute it, right?
I diluted 20 to 1, put it in a spray bottle, used it this afternoon after having habanero pepper sausages Toppers. For lunch. Never eat Spanish food before doing voiceover. You know, swish the stuff around. Wasn't a problem.
And the
sound hour
effects.
Of voiceover. Anyway, so what are your plans in the future for this podcast? Anything that you're like, we want to try this, or we want to try that?
Do you have a trajectory?
Yeah.
We definitely want to incorporate some other... Oh, yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
More episodes. Yeah, we do that a lot.
We want to incorporate some different formats. We want to do some more guests. Sean has done a great job actually at lining up some fantastic upcoming guests where we'll do more of an interview segment, which we haven't really done before. We had one episode where we had a round table, but other than that, we haven't done a lot of interviews. So Sean, do you want to talk about some of those, or at least where you want to take the segment?
Yes, we have a couple of guests lined up. We've talked to Julie Williams, who's a voice talent and voice coach, and has her own podcast as well. So a little bit more cross-pollination going on there. And then we at VO Atlanta, we talked to Paul Stuquerda, our friend of the show, and Kevin Leach over at IPDTL. So we'd like to promote their businesses as well. So we'd love to have them on. And as Paul mentioned, we'd love to just get more people involved with the podcast, either in another roundtable format or basically we're just stealing from you guys at this point.
That's all right. Steal away, you know, since what's the imitation?
It's a censorious form of flattery.
Form of flattery. There you go. Mm-hmm.
No,
I don't feel like Paul and I would be where we're at if we didn't have resources like VOBS or VoiceOver Extra or just individuals in the VoiceOver community who are willing to take newbies under their wing and show them the ropes. So
yeah, totally
thank
agree.
You very much.
Oh, you're quite welcome. A couple of questions here from our vast audience across the fruited plain, starting with the lovely Maxine Dunn, who asks, how do you decide on the topics you're going to talk about on your podcast?
Well, a lot of them have been tech-based, as you guys have noticed, and that was sort of intentional just because it's something that we're interested in, we're passionate about, and we can give decent advice about. But other than that,
we try to lay it out in a way that somebody that's new to the business would need to start. So
yes,
we had an episode on acoustics, we had an episode on microphones, we had an episode on getting an agent, all the things that new talent sort of crave when they're looking into the business and how to get started. So we're trying to sort of take the path of someone who's starting the business and give advice on how to approach that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Pat Sweeney asks, how does Sean like his Hook Studios pop filter?
I like it very much, actually. And we also got a cool little, let's see, I don't want to move the mic, so I'll just move the computer. But we've got the little Rycote thing right there. So loving that shock mount as well. They're a great 1-2 combo.
Yeah, when you're doing promo and stuff with the 416, that's a great little unit that they make. And I have one too.
It's called the Octo something. If you're trying to find it, just type in the Hook Studios Octo pop filter. Pop I think filter. You'll be able to find it.
Yeah. Does it really for a 416?
It's a 416 or any end address pencil, small diaphragm pencil mic.
Yes. Yeah.
It was funny though, because I saw your review on it, George, and that's what's prompted me to get it. And then Christian Lance made a post with a picture of his, and then that's what got everyone to buy one. I was like, no, George started it first.
Yeah, thanks for giving me credit, man. You're looking out for me. Yeah, no, it's the Octo 825S. Is that what it said, Jack? 842. Sorry, 842S.
Oh, well.
That's the shock mount. If you're looking for that
the
pop
right.
screen.
Right.
Yeah, if you're looking for that pop screen.
All right. Heather Masters has a question. Okay.
Do you think having the segment questionable gear purchase pressures you to buy more gear? That's actually a good question.
That is a good question.
Paul, I'm going to leave that one with you.
Really.
And this is a two-parter. So what? Paul, you
unfortunately,
no.
It was already there. The seed had been planted. And this was just a natural progression to try and justify my insane lust, more so to speak.
Gear lust.
But now I can say it's for the fans.
Yeah.
It's for the fans, yeah. Right. And then the other part of the question was, Sean, do you ever leave that section out for a lack of new gear? Or do you always manage to find something to talk about?
Well, a lot of mine's from my past mistakes and stuff like that. But I'm wondering if my section should be sensible gear purchases.
We'll need a new bumper in that case.
Send in
your submissions.
Yeah.
All right. We got one more question. Well, a couple more questions here. Yeah. Paul from Steve Harris. He says, Paul, can you expand upon why the CM25 was so poor for your voice? For me, it picks up mouth noise, sibilance, and can distort on me at the worst times. Well, distortion is a matter
of
that's a mic technique thing. You said you used it for a few hours. I agree. I'm into the Rode NT1 at the moment, baritone or to bass baritone, with sometimes tenor if expressive. George, his next question might be an issue as he asks. No, no, okay. Yeah. Yeah, we won't even ask that one. Thank you. Make sure you put a space in there, Jack. That helps a whole lot. Yeah. So what do you what were your thoughts
on that?
The CM25 there.
Who makes that?
Yeah, it is true. I only use it for a couple of hours. That's the mic that comes, or at least with the old Focusrite 2x2 Scarlett Studio.
Oh,
it was a package deal. It comes with the 2x2 interface, the mic stand. Yeah. It just as he said, it was really brittle. It had no low end and caused terrible problems with the mouth clicks I already had. So I almost immediately punted on it. But I had the rest of the package, and I still use actually the Scarlett headphones from that package. It's the one thing I've kept all these years because the headphones have really great response and they sound pretty true to life. So I still use those.
It Don't use be, branded mics.
It seems to be easier to make a decent pair of knockoff headphones than it is to make a decent cheap microphone. Mm-hmm. Clearly. I mean, if you ever look on eBay for the condenser mics that are on there, there's a lot in the sub $30 category. Believe it or not. Yeah,
don't use those.
Generally, they are bad. And I'm going to imagine that mic that came with the Scarlett kit was probably one of those really inexpensive OEM products. So
very good. Well, that's going to be it for all the questions.
All right.
Yeah. So we've run out of stuff to talk about with you guys. You're going to have to go come up with new topics for your podcast. Guys, it's been great having you on here.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Great listening to
you. It's been fantastic. Thank you so much. You know, dream come true.
Yeah. I know, it's actually a great exercise doing a webcast or a podcast like this because you do learn so much about what it takes to do what we do as voice actors and what the people on the other side are doing.
Yeah. You know, when you're getting to circulate.
Right.
And keep that network going and keep the energy fresh. You know, you don't feel like you get too sucked into the vacuum of your little padded cell.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That you're working in.
Right. It does look like they're in padded cells.
Yeah.
I feel like I've enjoyed the most success by sort of casting out that social net, like going to networking events like VO Atlanta. It's how I met the Global Voice Acting Academy. It's how I met you guys in person. And like all of the production aspects of the podcast, like, I mean, as you guys were at VO Atlanta a couple of weeks ago, I don't feel like at least the production aspect, I don't feel like my team would have done as well for the team challenge if I didn't have that experience. So you never know when it's going to become valuable to you.
I forgot to say, did we congratulate Sean on
I think we did. I think we did when the week after when we got back.
Oh, when we got back.
Yeah. But congratulations, because that was a great spot. I heard that spot and I went, that one's going to win. He didn't agree, but I'm like,
hey, those last couple of ones were really tight. Like,
for some reason, I think it was number 3 that resonated with me. I believe that's what I can't remember right now. It's been too long, but yes, congrats on doing that. I mean, as Paul said, you were scarce throughout much of the conference because you were.
Thank God I get to go back next year.
That is so cool. Then he gave passes to the whole team. Is that
yes.
Right?
So we all got passes for next year, as well as some cool, as well as these headphones and a chaotic eyeball and some other stuff. So it's really like it's great. Yeah, it's
not
great.
Bad.
Cool.
And you won't be entering in the contest next year.
Never again.
Yes. And as a production director, that's the stuff I would do 4 or 5 times a day. So imagine all the effort you went through coordinating all those people and all that stuff. But you did a great job because it was a great
spot.
Thank
you very much.
All righty. Sean Daly, Paul Stefano, stars of the VO Meter.
How the heck do we find the podcast, you guys?
We have our own website,
www.vometer.com.
You can go to iTunes or Podbean or any of your favorite pod catching apps, as George likes to say.
Wherever fine podcasts are sold.
Right. Exactly. Right on, man.
Excellent.
But you can download it right from the website, vometer.com.
Excellent. All righty. Thanks for being with us, guys. Look forward to seeing you again real soon.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Been a pleasure.
All righty. All right, we'll be right back. We'll try to wrap things up in a nice tight little ball right after these messages.
Wow. This is VOBS.
Learn the latest in voiceover technology, business, and good old-fashioned acting.
I really like your bracelet. It's awesome.
Hey, Paul, where did you get that watch?
That's really cool.
And a hamburger with no cheese, please.
Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, only on voiceoverbodyshop.com.
You're still watching VOBS?
Before time began, there was VOBS.TV. Watch or else.
All right. You know, one of the things I'm going to be doing next week that you have to see, if you enjoyed DAWView 2017, I'm doing a whole webinar on Audacity, explaining how Audacity works and not just, you know, pointing and clicking, saying touch this or click that. I'm going to walk right into the software and explain to you what all the tools are for, where to find them, how to set it up, and how to use it properly. That's important, to be able to show people exactly how it works. Go over to voiceoverextra.com and click through the site there. There's an actual link if you go to our Facebook page or my Facebook page or the Twitters that you've been getting. Yeah. Just click on the Register Now button. It'll take you there. You don't want to miss this one. If you want to really learn Audacity and feel competent at it and go, oh, it's not so sophisticated, watch this webinar next Wednesday, April 12th.
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses in a new curriculum.
We picked the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittam.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at thenewedgestudio.com.
Learn the latest in voiceover technology, business, and good old-fashioned acting.
I really like your bracelet. It's awesome.
Hey, Paul, where did you get that watch?
That's really cool.
And a hamburger with no cheese, please.
Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, only on voiceoverbodyshop.com.
Now, of course, the question's going to be, when are they going to have us on their podcast?
Expecting an email any day now.
Yeah, I'll be waiting to hear from their producer.
Gentlemen.
Yes, yes, indeed. Anyway, next week on this very show, we're not going to be here.
Oh, that's right. It's Passover
already.
It's
going to be Pesach. It's going to be Passover. It's Monday night, so we're not going to be able to do that here. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could be out here, but there's going to be a lot of Jews in my dining room.
No problem. So, I like the Jews.
Okay, good. All right. Then the following week, it's Easter Monday. Mm-hmm. I think we're talking about doing a fan roundtable that night.
Actually, it says right here that we're going to have Amy Ruminate.
Oh, Amy Ruminate's going to be with
us.
Oh, wow.
Her own new company, Ideal Audiobooks, her own audiobook production company.
Wow.
She'll be talking about.
Very, very cool.
We haven't talked about audiobooks in a little while, so I guess we were due.
We are. So. April 24th, Sylvia Vilgrand.
Oh, she's going to be here.
Lovely lady and very successful. May 1st, Bill Thorber is going to be here. Great guy.
That was Dan doing Goofy, by the way, just in case.
Yeah, okay. May 8th, J.J. Juergens.
Oh, yeah. She was down at VO Atlanta.
She was.
Right. Promo voice actor.
Yes, yes. Then on May 22nd, Sarah Jane Sherman, recently head casting director for Disney. We'll hear what she is casting right now.
Well, this is fantastic. I love that we got people booked almost through the end of May.
Yes.
Way to go, Catherine.
All right.
May 15th, we're working on it right now. Dan's going to be out of town.
My son's graduating from college. I got to go back east.
Very important trip. So yes. We're going to leave that as TBA, but probably by next show we'll have that locked down.
Right.
So stay tuned.
Okay. All righty. Who are our donors of the week?
Who is our donors?
Who isn't?
We got lots of is you is or is you not. Is you not a donor?
Yes.
Oh, gosh, that's terrible.
Good enough.
Woo! Eric Aragonis shows up at the top of my list here.
Okay.
And as I scroll down, Don Griffith.
Thanks, Don.
Is a new donor, and he's also a recurring donor, so he's donating every month, sustaining.
Martha, my dear
Con. Martha, sustaining donor. Thank you, Martha. We've also got, coming down the list, Shana Pennington.
Oh,
is it Shana? Sorry if
Shana
I'm saying
Pennington
that
right. Bear, right.
Yeah, she is a sustaining donor. Thank you very, very much. Antland Productions, also a donor. Thank you very much, buddy. Even though he's a sponsor, he figures out a way to slip in another little mention. Smart man. Greg Thomas,
He's one of our sponsors. And going back to last week's time, we're back to Michael Martin, another one of our friends of the show. He's been supporting us for a long time. Thanks, everybody, for who's been sponsoring and supporting us through your donations. I mean, these little bits, they add up.
They do.
You know, it's like a snowball. When we get all these little sustaining monthly and sometimes bigger ones, it just helps us have more padding to be able to do more things, take better care of our guests.
Buy a better set.
This baby, man.
Isn't it?
This took a while to build.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really great having your support. We really do appreciate it.
All righty. You can buy VOBS logo gear. Mm-hmm. And all you have to do is this big red stripe above my head here. Click on that. Buy all the stuff. Anything.
Right on VOBS.tv.
That's right. The opening tonight was provided by the lovely Jody Krangle up in Toronto, Ontario, yeah. Toronto, Canada. Mm-hmm. So we'd love to, you know, we're going to come up with a new opening soon. You were talking to some guy with a drone today.
I was. So I won't go into much more detail about what we're going to do with the drone, but we have some cool ideas.
High production value.
We tried to do it ourselves. Drone piloting in high wind conditions.
With lots of people around the Griffith Observatory.
Not a good idea. Not recommended. Yeah. We tried, but do not recommend. But we have a guy that can pull it off.
So. Okay. What's going on over at Edge?
If I check out our newsletter, which we cleverly called the VO Studio Weekly V Opportunities. Oh, boy. V Opportunities.
Opportunities.
Right. Okay. I've got my old ask a question. So if you just want to get one thing answered very quickly, $19, send me a message. I'll send you back a quick answer, concise, right about exactly what you need. That's something that we've started providing. Johnny Heller is doing a commercial course. He's mostly known for his audiobooks, but he does do commercial work as well. And he's teaching a commercial course out of our New York studio. It's Wednesdays and Thursdays, April 5, 6, 12, 13, two consecutive weeks from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern time. So if you want to register for Johnny's class, the quickest way to get to that actually is through edgestudio.com. Let me go back to the actual referral link because it's easier to interpret. I copy the link, because when you click on the link, it takes you to this crazy long link that you can't interpret, that I can't read over the air. Where is it now? And now I can't find it. Trust us.
It's
just
there.
Subscribe to our newsletter at edgestudio.com or follow Edge Studio at Edge Studio on Twitter, and you'll know about this stuff. You will not miss a thing.
Yes. All righty. The show logs. Jack's going, why is all the dead air? I don't have to write any. I can't write it. There was dead air for 5 seconds here. Show logs are right above me here, too. If you want to see what we talked about on the show, it's all there. Mm-hmm. Thanks to Jack for doing that. The podcast version.
Yeah, a lot of you are listening to the podcast. But if you'd rather consume this in a podcast form because you like to drive a lot or you have to drive a lot, it's just like VO Meter. We're on all the usual places. Just type in VOBS. And you should find us. If you don't find us, let us know. But I believe we're on every podcast serving system like Stitcher and iTunes and everything.
Very cool. All righty. And let's see. Take the survey. You know, go to our – it's right there.
Another button on the top of the page.
Take the survey. We want to see what you guys think about our show and what you'd like – what guests you'd like to see and a bunch of other questions.
Yeah.
Who would you like to see more, George or me?
That's one of my favorites.
Why did you put that in there? I don't exactly know why.
If you want to have some adversary, we have to have some competitive.
Okay, all right. If you want to be in our studio like these fine gentlemen are tonight.
Yeah, there they are.
Thanks for coming by, guys. All you have to do is write to us at theguys@vobs.tv and say, I will be there. What's the address? And if you can provide me your driver's license number or something, and I can guarantee that you are not, you know, some Russian hacker or something that's trying to get into our studio, you can be here.
My cover is blown.
Oh, darn. Let's see here. Thank our sponsors, of course. Busy Demos.
That's right. Let me look over here so I can thank our sponsors. Harlan Hogan and the VOS VoiceOver Essentials.
VoiceOver Extra.
Edge Studio.
Soros Elements.
VO2GoGo and the Rehearsal App.
And finally, Antland Killer Demos, and all of them for providing this uninterrupted stream. Well, uninterrupted from a streaming point of view.
Technically, you know, user error tonight.
Yeah, we'd like to thank Andrew for not being here tonight.
You know what, Andrew? I'm going to make you watch this episode so you can better appreciate how important it is that you are here every week. So.
Yes. All righty. I also like to thank Marcy for helping us out back here whenever she can. Mm-hmm. And Catherine Curden, our crack producer, who is getting all these fine guests like Paul and
She's
Sean today.
Keeping us well loaded.
Oh,
thank
and
you.
We got some great people coming up. Yep. Also, Anthony Gettig for being Anthony Gettig. Jack Daniel for the fabulous job he did in the chat room tonight.
Yes, he did.
And our floor producer, Andrew Bushwitz, who is not here tonight. But we thank him because when he is here, things go really, really well. And, of course, Jack DeGolia for the show notes. And, again, Lee Penny for simply being Lee Penny. All righty. Well, that's going to do it for us tonight. We do have a new cartoon coming up right after the show, so don't go away. That I actually wrote. Jacob came up with this weird character, which is an agouti, and whatever. All right, we'll be back in 2 weeks, so we'll see you then. Work hard, keep practicing, listen to all the podcasts, watch every one of our episodes, and you too might actually make a living at this. We'll see.
Maybe.
All right.
Let us know if you do.
I'm Dan Leonard.
I'm George Whittem.
And this is VoiceOver.
Body Shop.
Or VOBS. Have a good week, everybody.
Be well.
This is Todd McPherson, the plaintiff. He claims the defendant sold him a glass of lemonade with a fly in it. He requested a refund, but the defendant refused. He's suing for 25 cents for the cost of the lemonade and for being totally grossed out. This is the defendant, Becky Beckerton, and her attorney, Bon Bon. This is the case of the tainted lemonade.
Order, order. You the plaintiff?
Yes, Your Honor.
Tell me what happened.
Your Honor, he sold me a cup of lemonade with a fly in it. And worse yet, he refused to give me a refund.
Do you have any evidence?
I have the fly.
Do you have anything to say for yourself? You're the defendant?
Yes, Your Honor.
This is your attorney? Well, that would explain the sweated paperwork. Tell me your side.
Well, Your Honor, I gave him a perfectly good glass of lemonade. I have no idea when the offending fly made his way to the glass. Stupid fly!
What did he say?
He wants to see the evidence.
Bailiff, show the defendant's counsel the evidence.
What's that? Look, it's Santa Claus.
I hope I got my tutu twined this year. Did I miss Santa Claus?
Your Honor, counsel for the defendant ate the fly.
I don't see a fly.
Okay, well, out of time. I have to send this case to the jury. Did the defendant serve the plaintiff a fly or untainted lemonade?
Untainted.
Can I nap now?
We did it, Bon Bon.
Well, you were a big help.
And that will do it for this session of Really, Really, Really Small Claims Court.